Well, good morning. As Matt said, we are Todd and Barbara Charles. We are missionaries, which is a little bit different because I have to change how I introduce myself now. We are missionaries to Ecuador, South America. And I'm going to let my wife introduce herself a little bit and talk, just give a brief bio of what she's done for the past 21 years, at least.
Good morning. I love how the Lord works because, you know, Matt's devotions, we're done, we can all go home. That's about what we were going to talk about, is our purpose. And for over 20 years, God's purpose for Todd and I was to teach in the public school system. I'm a kindergarten teacher, and he is an eighth grade science teacher. And that was our mission field. And we were extremely happy in our mission field. We felt that we were serving God. We were serving God in our local church. About 6 years ago, we decided that we needed to do more with our summers. And so we, as a family, started praying about where we could serve. And God led us to Ecuador. The Kim and Guido Orellana, who I saw back on your bulletin board, this many of you may have met, they came to our church to speak, and our youth group went to Ecuador. So Todd and our oldest daughter, Olivia, went with them. And then just through circumstances, the Orellanas came back to the States. We were able to meet them as a family, and we decided that this is what we wanted to do. And so that first summer, Madeline was 9, Olivia was 13, and we went for 6 weeks as a family over the summer. It was the first time I had been out of the country. Todd had gone to Haiti a couple times on short-term trips with OMS. I never wanted to go out of the country. I was born and raised in Madison County, just west of Columbus. I went one county over for college and met Todd there and then dragged him back to Madison County with me. And I taught in a school district that I graduated from, that my parents graduated from, and I was extremely happy. And it's amazing how God will grab a hold of you even when you don't think you're looking for what you should be doing and you feel like you're fulfilling your purpose. And he says, nope, I have a new purpose for you. And we thought, we'll teach in the school year and we'll go to Ecuador in the summers. And God said, no, you won't. And it was hard. It's hard when God gets a hold of you and makes you uncomfortable in what was very, before that, or previously, a very comfortable life. And so that's where we're headed now, finally. And 2 weeks ago, God had spoken to us separately and together and said it is time. We had been accepted as full-time missionaries through One Mission Society, and we had been funding. And God said, it's time for you to go. And so Todd and I both turned in our resignations. And so at the end of the school year, after over 20 years in the classroom, we will not be returning to the classroom in the fall. And hopefully in August, we are going to be headed to Quito, Ecuador for language school, and then down to Payatanga, Ecuador to serve alongside Kim and Guido with their church camp and with the church plant and the camp down there. So that's a little summary of where we're headed.
You want to say anything? No, I don't think so. She's the quiet one. If Olivia was here, we do have two daughters. Our oldest daughter, Olivia, is going to be 20 this summer. So as a young adult, she's trying to figure this all out as well. Because God is revealing her purpose as she grows and continues. So at this moment, whether she goes with us to Ecuador or not, we don't know. We just got to figure that out. It is a possibility, but that's just where God is going to have to determine where He wants her to be for that time. So before I go any further, let's say a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Sun is shining outside, Lord. We thank you for the people that could be here, Lord, today to hear your word. We pray that you open their hearts and minds to your word this morning, Lord. Pray that you be with those who were not able to be here today, Lord, that are traveling. We just pray that you will just put your word in their heart, Lord, and keep it in their minds, Lord, that they may speak it. We thank you, Lord, for showing us your purpose in our lives, Lord, even though that may change. Lord, we thank you for where you have us now. We thank you for where you're going to send us and where you're going to take us in the future, Lord, as a congregation and as your children. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who you sent for our sins, that we may have that purpose in you and have that purpose in him, that we may share the gospel and grow closer to you as Christians. We thank you in his name. Amen. All right, so as Barbara said, you know, we've had a lot of changes. And it is unique when we think about your purpose and where we're at. And it's just amazing, and I don't know why, I'm always amazed by God. He tells us how great he is and what he can do for us and how he's going to lead us. But we're always shocked. Why are we always shocked? You know, we started funding for Ecuador about a year ago. And we hit a wall, hit a barrier. We were stuck on about 30% for the longest time. And so we're looking for our person. What's next for us? What do we do next? And every year at school, I would get an email saying, what are your plans for next year? Where do you intend to be? Do you intend to return to the same job? Do you intend to look for another job within the school district? Do you intend on resigning? Last year, at this time, I clicked return to my job. This year, when this email popped up, I hit resign. Within 2 months of resigning, hitting that button, God was so faithful, and our supporters came pouring in. Now we're officially at around 60%, so we had that 30% increase in just a matter of a couple months. Unofficially, we'll say we're at 70%. It depends on whose math. That's the way math works. It depends on whose math you're looking at. So God has truly blessed us, and it's just stepping out. And that's where we're at now, is we're stepping out of the boat. God has called us to step out. He's changed our purpose, and he called us to step out of where we were at, where we were being comfortable. And that's what we're doing here today, is we're stepping out. We're very thrilled when Verlton, we've been blessed to meet Verlton a couple times, and Rebecca, and we're thrilled when we had this opportunity to come share, because we just love sharing about God and what he's doing in our lives and what he's doing in Ecuador. So, when we first went to Ecuador, Olivia was 13. I was something. But God kept giving me this word, light, light. And at that time, our youth, we're in a small church like this, our youth pastor had quit. So we're in a transitional phase. So in Ecuador, Greg, who was our toddler, or our PGF, which is our young adults, or young kids, he was taking over for youth. And in Ecuador, we talked about it, and God gave me a new purpose in Ecuador. When we got back from Ecuador, Barbara and I took over as our teens and our youth leaders. And he kept giving me the word light. And he gave me one of those things. I'm not an English teacher. I teach science. And spelling doesn't count in science. And so he gave me, he kept saying light. And to me, he was saying living in God's hope and truth. Because that's really what we have, is we have that light that God gave us. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is being a light. Right. So, from being here in Ohio, has anybody ever been to the Ohio Caverns? I taught at Urbana, just outside of West Liberty, for 22 years. And we'd go to the Ohio Caverns every once in a while. It's been a while since we've been there. But my favorite part about the Ohio Caverns is when they take you down in the caverns and they flip off the lights. All right, we go outside at night and we say we're in dark. But we have the moon, the stars, street lights, car lights, house lights. We have all these different lights out there. But in the Ohio Caverns, when they flip off that light, that's total darkness. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And in science, the definition of darkness is the absence of light. So that sticks out in my mind, is there you're living in total darkness. The only thing down there that's living is bats. And that was always one of the freaky things too. You'd always see the bats. All right, if we go to the next picture, I want to introduce this. I know Burlton. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Burlton's story about when he was in Ecuador. But when we met him, he gave us that great story. And I, you know, there's a lot of great stories. This is what I call the river hike. All right. One afternoon, Guido, and I'm not sure if Guido's ever actually been here to speak, but Guido's like, I want to go on this river hike. There's a big bridge that goes across this big old gorge right before the camp. And it was being worked on. So they had to go around the back of the mountain for a couple of months. And Guido's like, there's a little bridge around the back of the mountain. We can get dropped off there. Probably only a few miles, a couple hours. And we'll walk from that bridge to the big bridge and then get picked up on the highway and go back. So, six of us decided, hey, this sounds like a good idea. Now, this is where it's kind of intertwines with my youth. So we're going out on this river hike. He says, fabulous, we'll go out. So we eat lunch. We have Antonio, who works at the camp, drop us off at this little bridge about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And our plan is, you know, we'll walk into this bridge. It was a couple hours, no big deal. So we had no flashlights, no machetes. Thankfully, Isabel brought a loaf of banana bread or pineapple bread that they made the night before. And we started to walk. So we're having a great time. We're just walking and talking, fellowshipping, having a great time, enjoying the scenery as we walk. And we look at our watches, 2 o'clock, you know, walking an hour, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Where's that bridge? We're going to keep winding. And in our wisdom, what is that? Oh, it's probably around the next corner. So we just keep on walking and keep on walking. And then suddenly, at about 5:30, we come to a 15-foot waterfall. There's no way around it. So now what do? Well, in Ecuador, it's right on the equator. So at 6:30 at night, it's dark. 6:30 in the morning, sun comes up. So here it is, 5:30, and we got no way to go forward. We've basically enjoyed the world around us, and now we've gotten ourselves lost for all intents and purposes. Now, we know where we're at. We're in Ecuador. But there are no roads around us. There are no trails around us. There's only one way in, and there's only one way out. So we decide that we're going to turn around. But at 6:30, it gets dark. And 6:30 in Ecuador, when you're in the middle of a river valley and it's an overcast sky, there's no moon shining, no lights from the stars, there's no houses around, no street lights, we're in total darkness. I will have to tell you, I'm a pretty big guy. I was a little nervous because we had no machetes, no flashlights, no food, and only one way back out. So we took 4 hours to get there. It's going to take us 4 hours to get back out. So I'm going to stop right there for a little bit. I'll come back to the river. All right. So we're in the dark. Isn't that kind of where we're at in the world today? You know, as a school teacher, you know, it breaks my heart to hear of another school shooting. It breaks my heart to go in the classroom and listen to stories of abuse, neglect that some of my students had to live through. And a few weeks ago, one of the kids, there was something out on the internet, one of the kids asked me something about, isn't the world supposed to end or something like that? And, you know, growing up, and some of us older people, growing up, you know, we've heard many stories of the world's going to end, the world's going to end. And we know it was definitely something's going to happen because the Bible tells us something's going to happen. But he also tells us that we're not going to know when or where. It's just going to happen. So I think about this, and I think about our world today and how dark our world has become. I also think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Because as I think about today's world, I think it resembles a lot what Sodom and Gomorrah was like in the Old Testament. So I'm going to take a look at Genesis 18:32. So this is before God's wrath is set out on Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Abraham is pleading for Sodom. He does not want it to be destroyed. So he starts out, "If I can find 50 righteous people, will you spare it?" And I'm paraphrasing that. "If I can find 30 righteous people, will you spare it?" Finally, in 18:32, it says, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it." Did he find 10? He did not find 10. So God's wrath was set out on Sodom. And I think about today's world, and I think about the darkness in today's world, but I also think about the light, the righteous that are still there and still here, sharing the light with those that are lost in this world. And I truly believe that it's because of the righteous, because of God's people still trying to spread the light, trying to be a light, that's why we're still here. When we talk about our purpose, you know, Rick Warren came out with the 40 Days of Purpose. I got today about 20. I'm not a reader. I got today about 20, and God revealed His purpose to me. So I didn't need to go on. You know, what is our main purpose? Our main purpose is to share the gospel, to share God's love with the world. Second Peter 3:9 is where we're going to go next. So God really doesn't want to destroy us. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. As some understand promises, instead He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God doesn't want to destroy us. God tells us in His Word that He's made a place for us all, for me, for you, for every single person that's ever been created. God has made a place for us in heaven. So He doesn't want to be separated from us. But in our infinite wisdom, as being humans, we pull back. We push away. We rebel. And it tells us that He does not want us to perish. He wants us to repent and turn back to Him so that we can have what He has made for us, what He has promised us. He sent us because He doesn't want us to die and have eternal life in hell. He sent us a way. He sent us a sacrifice. He sent us His Son. To me, this is the most powerful verse. This is one of my favorite verses, the most powerful verse to me. And we all know it. John 3:16. That for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. To me, that's volume. That's it right there. God sent His one Son for me. And I was talking about this last week. I was talking at church, at our home church, for Mother's Day. I gave my mother so much grief in her life. I made so many bad choices as a young man, as a teenager, getting caught up in alcohol and alcohol abuse. I know I gave my mom a lot of sleepless nights. And that's one thing I struggled with, is how can this God love me? How can He do this for me? Because I'm not worthy. was filth. I'm not worthy. But that's why John 3:16 speaks such volume to me, because I know now that He loved me so much. No matter what I did in my past, He loved me so much that He was willing to give His Son for me. But not only me, for you, for every sinner out there, which we all are. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son so that we can have eternal life. That just blows me away. It just blows me away. To imagine that kind of love. And I spoke about that last week because that's also kind of love your mother has for you. That's kind of love my mother had for me. That she would sacrifice herself for me. Now, as Christians, followers of Christ, what is our purpose? Number one, I said, I think our purpose is to share the gospel, to share the good news, John 3:16, with people that are lost, living in the dark, that there is a light. There is a way out of that darkness. And through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we can have that eternal life. But for some of us, God has called us to something different. He's changed our purpose. For our family, God has called us to go. Right, Matthew 28:19. This is one I struggled with. This is one we struggled with as a family. Matthew 28:19, Jesus told the disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." As Barbara said, we struggled. We first went to Ecuador in 2012 as a family. It's 2018. We struggled for a long time with that. I think, you know, as we talk now and as we look back and we see God's purpose now as we look back, we knew. I think we knew that first summer we were there that this is where we were supposed to be. But we listened to some of the world. We listened to our carnal side saying, maybe someday. Now, God didn't throw down the gauntlet right then and say, "You're gone." Right? Because He still had a purpose for us in the schools. He still had a purpose here in Ohio where we live. And when His timing was right, about a year ago, He said, "It's time. So lay it down, put it away, and let's go." So that's the purpose that changed in our lives. He called us to go. And people ask me sometimes, because I've been to Haiti a couple times on a couple short-term mission trips, and people ask us, why Ecuador? Other than this, because that's where God called us, I don't have an answer. Because we get people, some of my family especially, they're like, "Well, there's darkness here. There's people hurting in America." And that is true. There are people hurting everywhere. Why Ecuador? Because that's where God called us. That's the only answer I have. And I was talking to Matt earlier, you know, there's in our lives, when God calls you to something, there is that overwhelming sense of peace. So once we settled with ourselves, you know, people at school, because I resigned, you know, I've been in Urbana for 22 years. That's pretty much my whole teaching career. I've been a teacher for 24 years. People are like dumbfounded. They can't understand. They can't grasp what we're doing. And, so, and to be honest, sometimes I can't either. But there's a sense of peace because we're walking away from careers, retirement. So what? I have a sense of peace. We have a sense of peace that this is what God has called us to do. And I'm going to share a quick Maddie story real quick. we were talking, and you know, because funding is weird. It's hard to ask people for money. Yeah. But we're funding, and Madeline asked this question. She said, well, what if we don't get funded? Do we reevaluate our call? And I said, no, we don't reevaluate our call. Our call is our call. We reevaluate the timing of our call. I have no doubt in my heart, we have no doubt in our hearts that God has called us to serve in Ecuador. And when His timing is right, we'll be in Ecuador doing what He's called us to do. Until that point, we're going to do what He's called us to do. We're going to share our purpose here with anybody that will stop long enough to listen. So with the Great Commission, Jesus created the first missionaries, the disciples, those who He has called to go out into the nations and share the gospel. But what's that mean for everyone else? Could you be called to missions? I'm 48 years old now. I don't know if anybody else is 48 years old out there. But I was called to go to Ecuador at 46. Maybe you will be called someday to go in the mission field. And we have some young people out there as well. Maybe you will be called. Maybe God will put that purpose on your heart. Maybe you're called to go on a short-term trip. Where we're going to be, that's one of our lifelines, our short-term missionaries that come for a week or 2 weeks. I know there's been some negative comments and things out there about short-term, that maybe short-term missionaries shouldn't go. Maybe God should just send the money. Just send the money to the nationals. Well, I can tell you right now, the short-term mission trips I've been on have been a huge blessing to me, just as big to the nationals that are there. So maybe God is calling you to go on a short-term mission trip to Ecuador, to Haiti, to Africa. That's between you and God. Right? But pray. And you got to listen. You got to listen. And sometimes it's just a small whisper. You got to listen, and God will reveal where you're supposed to be and the purpose He has. Maybe it's not to go. Maybe it is to help support. And like I said, we need money. Sad truth of it, the world works on money. All right? So maybe God's calling you to support missions. I know you guys already support several OMS missionaries, and that is awesome. All right, I speak to some churches, and we speak to some churches that don't support anybody. Maybe God's called you in your life to help support, either through prayer or finances. We know that as soon as we step in Ecuador, enemy's attacking, because He doesn't want us there. He doesn't want us to be that light. He wants to snuff us out, put a cover over us. So we know the attacks are going to happen. So number one, we covet prayer because we're going to need prayer. These are huge changes in our lives. We're going at a phase where in 2 years, Madeline will be able to come home if she decides. Hopefully we're hoping a little bit longer, she stays with us longer. But she's going to be a young lady as well. And then grandchildren. And those things are going to happen. We know those are going to be difficult times in our lives because we're going to be 3,000 miles away. So we're going to miss some of those milestones. But we're okay with that because we know God's purpose for us now. Now that may change because God may see us somewhere else. He may see us coming back here, pastoring a church or doing something else. That's okay. But when God reveals that to us, one thing that we are going to be is we're going to be obedient to God. So maybe those are some things that God is calling you. Luke 10:2. We're going to look at Luke 10:2. All right. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field." It's one thing we know about this world. There are plenty of people who have not heard the gospel of Jesus. There are plenty of people who maybe have heard, and as I was listening into Sunday school, that maybe heard the word, and they know who Jesus is, but they don't have a relationship with Him. We talk all the time that just because you know who Jesus is does not make you a follower of Jesus. You know, the devil knows who Jesus is, but he's not walking with Jesus. So there are plenty out there that do not know the gospel of Jesus. And Jesus tells us to send out the workers because the harvest is plentiful. As we come up here, you know, we're driving through the fields. My family, and we were talking with the farmers, and we know that that's a big thing. If you plant the crop, and the crop grows, it does you no good unless you go harvest it. So it's out there. God's word is out there, and it tells us in His Bible that it's in everybody's heart. So even if you're living in the middle of the jungle of Africa, or jungle of the Amazon in South America, God's presence is in your heart. You just got to reveal it. You know, when we were singing, "I Will Follow You," when we decided to become and follow Jesus to Ecuador, that was one of the songs that God put on our hearts. I used to have a 40-minute drive to work, so I listened to Christian radio all the time. And God would speak to me so much through the music. You know, and He gave me that. So when we first decided, that's the word, I will follow. We will follow. And then with Casting Crowns and so many different music groups, Mercy Me, Here I Am, Send Me. So that's what we're doing, is we're just trying to be a spark that helps that light. I believe Christians are called to pray for the people all around the world, because there are many missionaries out there. A lot of different organizations. We are called to pray and lift those up, because the devil was going to attack them. The enemy is there always looking to devour, like that lion. Matthew 5:14-17. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." So if we were in the Ohio Caverns, and you took a lighter or a flashlight, and you flipped the switch, or you lit the lighter, what's the Ohio Caverns going to do? It's going to light up. Light destroys darkness. Light destroys darkness. So God has called us to be a light, but He's called us not to hide our light, whether we're here in Galleon, or we're in London, Ohio, or Columbus, Ohio, or Paitanga, Ecuador. God has called us to share that light with others, to let that light shine, to fill up the space that we're in so that others can see it, so others can use it. I'm going to finish the river hike story. Here we are at the end. So, we've walked 4.5 hours in. 5:30, Gita looks at me and says, "We're going to have to turn around." And it's still daylight, but we know it's going to get dark soon. Olivia's not here, so I'm going to tell this part. So Gita says, he has a cell phone. He's like, "I'm going to call Kim." We have no service, but he has a cell phone. He's going to call Kim. And he said, "I'm going to leave a message and say, we might have to spend the night in the jungle." At that point, Olivia, who was 15 at the time, I think, tears. And then the two little girls, Isabel and Elena, Guido's girls, tears. They panicked a little bit. And like I said, I was a little bit nervous myself. The only light we did have one light source, Matt, is the guy in the striped shirt. He's actually from New Zealand. He had his iPhone, so he had the little flashlight on his iPhone. So we started using that to walk out. And then suddenly, the clouds parted, and we had half a moon. That night there was a half moon in the sky. And I think about this. Where does the light from the moon come from? Here's science. Science teacher, sorry. Where does the light come from? Does it make its own light? No, it comes from the sun. But I'm going to flip it to S-O-N. So that night, the clouds parted and the sun's reflection off the moon lit up that river valley. And we didn't need a flashlight. Now, I would say we easily walked out, but as you see the picture, I'm a pretty tall guy. I was wet up to my waist. We probably crossed that river 50 times that night. Going in, we were taking our time. Coming out, we're like, let's just do it. Now, here's the part I had left out too. When we left, you know, we were planning on being home by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, we locked everything up. So Barbara, Maddie, and Kim, and Sophia, their baby at the time, they went shopping. And they were going to be back around 5 o'clock. We said, no problem. We'll beat them back. Yeah, that didn't happen. That was about 9 o'clock at night. Kim picked us up on the other side of the mountain where we basically got dropped off. We started walking kind of back up the mountain. And we got back to the camp at 10 o'clock at night. So that's our short little river hike. So I learned two things that day. Guido can't tell time, and Guido definitely can't tell distance. Because it was no 2-hour walk, and it was no 2-mile walk. But, you know, it's amazing that, you know, in our time of darkness, in our panic of darkness, God revealed the light of His Son. The Son that He created to light our way that night. And we were able to walk out of that river valley. Fairly unscathed. Intact. And hopefully a little wiser. Because the next summer we went back, and he was like, well, let's do the river hike from the other side. And I said, listen, this is what we're doing. We're walking for 2 hours. We don't meet it. We're turning around walking out. So he gave us a little bit of wisdom too. But that's what God does. He wants us to be a light. And we felt like conquerors. So you see the girls are all excited, got their hands pumped up. We're conquerors. Because we conquered the darkness. And in our own personal lives, how do we conquer the darkness? Through the light of Jesus. Through the light of the Son that He has provided for us. All right, I'm going to close with this last verse. John 8:12. You know, when we decided to become full-time missionaries, we were looking for a verse that spoke to us as a family. This became our family verse, John 8:12. So when Jesus spoke to the people again, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So no matter where we go, what we do, we're going to hold fast to this truth that as long as we follow Jesus, we know that He is going to light our path. He is going to get us to where He wants us. He's going to reveal His purpose to us in life at that time. Now again, that may change 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But we know as long as we follow Jesus that He's going to light our way. He's going to be the light for us to see the path that He's made for us. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Son. The Son that is our light in this world of darkness. The Son that gives us our purpose and gives us a way to follow that purpose, Lord, to serve You. Without His light, Lord, we would be lost in the dark. But having that light inside of us, the light of Jesus, Lord, allows us to be a light for others. To shine that light on our surroundings, no matter where it is, in our workplace, in our families, in our schools, in our communities. We just thank You so much for putting that light inside of us, Lord, that we may shine it back out. As we continue to follow you, Lord, we pray that you just keep your light shining on us. We know that we're going to have troubles. We know that sometimes there will be shadows, but we also know that your light will chase those shadows away. We just pray for your strength, your guidance, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your Son that died on the cross for our sins. It's in His name we give thanks and praise, for it's His glory that we seek. Amen. Thank you so much for letting us come share. We set up a table back there in the back. There's a sign-up sheet if you would like to keep in contact with us through email or through snail mail. Email would work better because as we get to Ecuador, the snail mail stuff kind of disappears. But there's information back there. Here's the best thing. It's all free. It's all free. So I know there's some, you guys are definitely affiliated with OMS, so there's some information on OMS, information about the camp. And then please feel free to take one of our cards, hang it on the refrigerator. When you pass it by, you see us. Please pray for us. Please pray for us. Thank you so much. God bless. Thank you.
Paul, if you could give me a hand with Dale, please. We're going to take a love offering up for Charles. I can't imagine just leaving everything behind. But that's a tough financial spot, but they're doing it for the kingdom of God. So if you have any extra, feel free to donate.
Oh, you want me to hit?
I'll take your money.